Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Please allow me a moment of your time before we begin the sermon to express my appreciation for the kind invitation by the elders to come and be a part of you this morning. It's a joy to see you. It's a sight I've seen hundreds of times through the years. I never tire of it. I see your faces filled with pride because of what you are and who you are and why you are. I hear you blending your voices in filial devotion for the Father and great joy because of our coming together. I thank you for the kind invitation. It's a joy. There are people that are very special to me in this audience. My daughter-in-law and her children, two of whom are here this morning, are very special. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of Mark Banks. He helped raise me. Didn't he do a good job? I'm proud of your elders here. I want to say something to you. Do you have any idea how fortunate you are to have these men to serve you? These are men of great knowledge, men of great character, men of great love for God and for His people. Don't forget to pray for them from time to time. They're all friends of mine. I appreciate it. Do me one other favor. Pray for their wives. Their wives are so important. So important to them. Don't forget to pray for them too. Thank you for the invitation. I hope you'll profit from what I have to say this morning. The Apostle Paul, by the influence of the Holy Spirit, wrote us a wonderful chapter in the book of Romans in chapter 12. Turn there, I want to read. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself too highly, more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, for the prophecy, let us prophesy according to proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honorable, honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I think it's almost impossible to overemphasize the importance of attitude. Attitude is so important no matter what the endeavor is. If you're just doing something here at the church, it's very necessary that the attitude that precipitates it be one of love and devotion to God. Now, you talk to any good coach and he'll tell you he'd rather have a man with a good attitude and a moderate disposition, a moderate talent, than to have a man with a great talent and a poor attitude. I wish you could have known Brother Jim Ineson. Mark knew him. Brother Jim was an interesting fellow. He was a retro officer at NASA. Had a presidential citation for ever bringing back at Apollo 13. He used to invite me out to the... He was an interesting fella. Restored Corvettes. Had a handlebar mustache. He's a great fella, an elder in the church. He called me out one day and said, "You want to come out and watch this fly simulated mission?" I went out. Sat right at that board that you see on television. All morning long I would listen to him talk to the captain on the space capsule. He'd then return and talk something. They'd make some adjustments. Finally, we had a coffee break. He kept talking all morning about the attitude of the spacecraft. So I asked him when we got the coffee, I said, "Jim, how would you define the attitude? What are you talking when you talk about the attitude of the spacecraft?" He said, "Well," he drew a circle on a napkin. "That's the Earth." Then he threw a dotted circle around the outside of it and said, "That's the atmosphere." He said, "When the spacecraft is coming back into the atmosphere, if it's pointed too far down, the friction of the atmosphere will burn it up. If the attitude of the spacecraft is pointed too far up, it'll bounce off the atmosphere and bounce out into the space and we can't retrieve it." So I said, "How would you define the word attitude?" He had an ashen kind of complexion. He twisted his mustache and all of a sudden he looked up and smiled at me and he said, "Bowman, attitude is where you are in relation to where you ought to be." That is a fine definition of attitude. Attitude is aptitude. It's what you're apt to do. It's the disposition that you have. It's being in a right relationship with God to the extent that it regulates every area of your life. That's your attitude. Your attitude is one of love. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength." That's the attitude that you have to have. You have to have the right attitude toward God. You have to have the right attitude toward yourself. You have to have the right attitude toward others. You have to have the right attitude even toward your enemies. Love them that persecute you. So I want to take a few minutes and look at your attitude as defined for us so beautifully in Romans chapter 12. First of all, you need the right attitude toward God. Remember, your attitude is what you're apt to do. Your attitude is your disposition. It's where you are in relation to where you ought to be. Remember that when we talk about God. He says, here's your attitude toward God. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Notice your attitude toward God. It's one of self-presentation. Could I ask you a question? Are you presenting yourself toward God? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Self-presentation. It says, "God, speak, thy servant heareth. Command and obey." Do you have God in your life all the time? Do you start the day with prayer to God? Is God in your relationship with your wife? Is God in your relationship at school? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Some people think that's opposed to the old dead sacrifices in the old law. That may be the case. But the fact of the matter, it seems to me that when he's saying that, he says you present your bodies as you live every day a sacrifice to God. Present him a living sacrifice. You present yourself to him every day. You begin every day with him. He's a part of everything you do. That is not to say you go, oh, Paul said, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you get up in the morning, you start your day with a prayer and say, "This, our Father which art in heaven," and then you pray all day long and finally you quit and you go to bed and say, "In Jesus." Now, that's not what that's talking about. It's saying have God in your business all day long. Go with him where he goes and let him take you where you ought to go. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual or reasonable service. That word reasonable there is taken from a Greek word from which we get our word logic. Listen to me. The only life that makes any sense is God. The only life that makes any sense is presenting yourself to God. It's the only reasonable service. If you miss heaven, ladies and gentlemen, you've missed all there is. Why would you want to do otherwise? So you present your body a living sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Holy and acceptable, that means you give him all that you are and all that you have. How are you doing with that? How are you doing it? Do you do that? Why read it and not do it? What is your attitude toward God? Is it one of complete and total reliance on him? Or do you give him part-time service? One of the problems I see around the country is that we have far too many part-time Christians. They don't present themselves wholly and totally to God. I'll tell you how to do that. He says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be not conformed. Con, prefix with, form of, form. Don't let the world form you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, 1 John 2:15. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away with the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. That's a powerfully pregnant passage of Scripture, pregnant with significance. Conformity to this world is foolish indeed. It is not reasonable. You not do that if you're a Christian. You don't want to do that. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. I'll not bore you by telling you that's the old trans over. Forma, trans, do it over, do it strong. Okay, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That word in the Greek is in the constant imperative. It's in the going forward, or never stopping. You present your body as a living sacrifice every day, wholly accepted by constant renewing of your mind. Why are you here today? Well, we want to get new information. I've been preaching the gospel a long time. I never intend to be a preacher. I don't know if you knew that. But I've been preaching a long time. I still have the same problems you have. I still have the same difficulties. And that main difficulty is keeping in tune with God all time, every day. Presenting your body a living sacrifice and making him the captain of everything that you do. And you do it daily, working. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the constant renewal of your mind. Then he talks about attitude towards yourself. Listen how he phrases that. For I say unto you, through the grace that is given to you, that to every man that is among you, did that leave anybody out? To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God that dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Here's your attitude towards yourself. Humility is a hard thing. Being humble is what he's talking about here. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. What does that say? Be humble. That's hard. What is humility? Well, our English word humble comes from a Latin word that meant a grass that grows real close to the ground, humus. So it means keep yourself down. It doesn't mean that you bow your head every morning, get up and look at you, put your shoulders in like that, just barely look up. That's not humility. Humility is giving yourself to God, recognizing that He has lifted you out of a quagmire of filth and ungodliness and given you a life that is fine and good, that you can give piety and holiness and godliness to God. Be humble. There was a contest in one of the plants there in Houston. They had a big banquet around Christmas time. And they gave one of the members there, one of the workers, the plaque for humility, for being the most humble man at the plant. Then they took it back when he accepted it. That's humility, don't you see that? What does that mean? Well, it means accepting yourself for what you are. Listen to what he says. He's dealt to every man the measure of faith. I just absolutely deplore the competitive spirit that exists among preachers or among anybody. God gave everybody something different. The gospel in personality is what preaching is all about. I'm not Russ and Russ is not me. I'm grateful to tell you, and I'm so proud of him I could bust my buttons off. But I'm going to tell you for sure he's his own man, and that's the way he ought to be. He was taught to be that. He uses his talent, I use my talent. We're hoping both of us bring glory and honor to God. That's the main thing. So listen to what he says. We have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. I hate jigsaw puzzles. I don't understand jigsaw puzzles. Tracy and the girls come for Christmas. They open up a box and dump 467,216 pieces on the table. And they're going to put them together. The picture's on the box. What are you doing? Well, I say, y'all go ahead. I'm not going to participate about the time I get going good. The Texans are buying 46 to nothing. So I venture over to the coffee table and I'm going to show them how to put one in. Where's the box? I say, and I look at the box and I see a certain color. I throw in, put my piece in. Haley says, that didn't go there, Papa. Don't put that there. Oh, I didn't think so. I was just matching the colors. In a minute I say, how about this over here? She said, that won't go there. I try four or five times. Finally, I get a piece and I put it in like that. Mom, Norma says, that doesn't go there. I said, you would have bet it doesn't go? Listen, show me a computer piece. I mean, show me a piece from the puzzle. Every piece of that jigsaw puzzle protrudes in order that it might be accepted. Every piece of that jigsaw puzzle is indented in order that it might be. We fit together, don't you see that? Listen to what he says here. We being many are one body in Christ, everyone members of one another. What makes this congregation what it is? All the various personalities, all the various capabilities. And that's what he's saying here. Having gifts according to the grace that is given to us. If you're a prophet, prophesy according to the proportion of faith. If you're a minister, minister. If you're an exhorter, exhort. If you do it with simplicity. If you rule, do it with diligence. If you show mercy, do what you can with what you have. That's what that's saying. So what is your attitude toward yourself? God's given me what I am. When Paul talked to the Areopagites in Acts the 17th chapter, he said, God has given to all life and breath and all things. Then he later says, in him we live and move and have our very being. God gave you what you are. You're responsible for it. Look in the mirror in the morning. Do me a favor. Look in the mirror in the morning and ask yourself the question, what can I do with what God gave me today? Will you do that? Just look at yourself in the mirror and say, what can I do with what God gave me to do today? Well, he's given you what you need. You just need to make it as good as you can and go about your activities. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Treat one another well. Not slothful in business, every man. Your attitude toward God is one of self-presentation. Your attitude toward one another is self-presentation again. You're trying to get everybody going in the right direction with the talent that you have. All of it together makes a beautiful congregation. What you people are doing is right here. You're growing. You're making progress. You're not growing numerically. We measure congregations far too many times by how much growth they have in numerically. And that's good. We need to grow numerically because we need to teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we grow internally too, and that's an important growth. It's every bit as important as growing externally. We need to understand that every person needs to grow because as every person grows, the whole gets better. So we take care of what God has given you in the way that God wants you to do it. Not slothful in business, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, distributing to the necessity of saints. That's your attitude toward others. What is your attitude toward other people? It's hard. It's hard to have a right attitude toward everybody. But we have to have it no way. It's necessary that we give ourselves to other people as often as we can. We need to care for one another. That's what he's saying here. Weep with those who weep. We can do that pretty good. Rejoice with those who rejoice is hard, though. Little Johnny gets a fourth grade accolade at school. Little Mary didn't get one. So we're jealous of the little boy and sorry about the little girl. We need to be careful about our attitude toward other people. Weep with them and be rejoicing with them that rejoice. Be of the same mind one toward another. That's disposition. That's attitude. Be of the same attitude toward one another. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Here's our attitude toward everybody that's opposed to us. You're going to have opposition. There's some people that don't like me. You ever think of that? My wife gets mad about it too. But you're going to have that. You're just going to have difficulties with other people. There will be little friction things, little difficulties, little personality differences, little idiosyncratic differences. They just come. But handle them carefully. Have a right attitude toward it. What is the right attitude? What is the greatest commandment of all? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with your whole heart, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor, right? No, wrong. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you love yourself like you ought, you're going to take care of yourself. You're not going to do anything to yourself that you think is harmful or bad. You ought to do the same thing with those with whom you have difficulties, even your enemies. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. We're not qualified, folks. We don't have all the information. We don't know the hearts of the people. So we need to offer restraint in regard to that. Vengeance is mine. The Lord will take care of it. Just relax and let it happen. Let him take care of it. If it be possible to rest his life in you, live peaceably. He says, if it be possible. Ephesians 5 tells us how long you can be mad at your wife. As much as life in you, be kind to one another, even to your wife. He says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. What does that say to you? You can't be mad more than 12 hours. That's all. So bear it in mind. Then he says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now listen. Treat your enemies with love. It's necessary. I once knew a man that was having trouble with another one of the persons in the congregation. He came to me and he said, I am so mad at him. I just can't stand him anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do. He doesn't treat me right. We have trouble. I said, what can I do? He said, what can I do? I said, go and treat him well. Go and find a way to do something nice for him. Go and do something good. It'll repair the relationship. I saw him about a month or 6 weeks later. How you doing? He said, I'm doing good. Remember old such and such? He said, I was so nice to him, you wouldn't believe it. I did all kinds of good things for him. You wouldn't believe all the things I did. He said, man, I really got him. Is that what it's all about? Is I really got him? When you heap coals of fire on his head, it's saying we're going to make the compatible relationship possible again. It's not talking about how you can hurt somebody. It's talking about how you can help somebody. So, what is your attitude toward God? Well, one of self-presentation. What is your attitude toward yourself? One of self-denial. One of self-promotion. Growth internally. Getting better. Using my talent for the wise use of things in the assembly with the other people. Making myself available. Making myself a helper. What is your attitude toward those who preach and teach? Make it a good attitude. They're trying to help you. Attitude toward the elders. How's your attitude toward the class teacher? They spend preparation getting ready. Your attitude is very important. How's your attitude toward your enemy? Well, the best way to subdue your enemy is make a friend out of him. That's what Jesus said. What a friend we have in Jesus. Well, that's my little lesson this morning. I hope that brings some help to you. It's so important that we have the right disposition, that we have the right inclination, that we have the right attitude. So work on that, if you will. I'm going to try to do better myself. People ask me sometimes, how do you know how to preach? I say, I shave every morning. When I point a finger, three of them point back at me every time. So let's all work together. Because, folks, we want to go to heaven when we die. If you're not a Christian, we want to help you. What's your attitude toward Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you're willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith unashamedly before this assemblage, buried with him in baptism, you can go home from here with no sin at all. Would you come to him this morning? If you owe some other duty and we can help you, let us do so while we stand and sing.